So we're starting a new series called Power. Everybody say Power.
Power.
And we're going to trust the Holy Spirit today, and obviously every time we get together, but specifically to give us insight, or another word for that would be revealed knowledge. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, or said to the disciples, who do the people say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, help me with it, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, as smart as you are, you didn't come up with this on your own. This was revealed to you by my Father. So it was knowledge that was revealed. It wasn't from the flesh that he got it. It was a spiritual knowledge. So say revealed knowledge.
Revealed.
Or say revelation knowledge.
Revelation.
Okay, so this is what we're looking for. We're not just looking for head knowledge. You come to church and you find out how many books there are in the Bible. And how many are in the Old Testament, how many are in the New Testament. You go and you say, that was an awesome sermon. I really learned something today. No, you didn't. You just got head knowledge. It's not going to help you in anything in what you're coping with in life. Knowing how many books in the Bible and even being able to name them, as good as that might be, is useless knowledge. You understand? All right. So we're looking for revelation knowledge. And particularly in this series, we're going to be looking for revelation knowledge about how God does stuff. And then when we're going to find out how God does stuff, then we're going to find out today that Jesus wants us to do the same thing God does. So three things we're going to look at today. Number one, you're going to get revelation knowledge about how God does stuff, particularly how he releases his power. And then we're going to see that Jesus told us to do exactly the same thing as God does. And the last thing we're going to look at today is going to be that God uses this procedure of using his power to change my identity and thereby change my activity. So that's my sermon, okay? Now, today's sermon is going to be, from beginning and end, the whole series of 8 weeks, crunched into one sermon. So pay close attention. Then, during the next 8 weeks, what I will do is I'll go back and I'll look at different segments in what we shared today to expound them more fully to you. But I want you to get the overall picture of how this thing works. Good enough? You all with me?
Yeah.
All right. So, the first thing we want to do is, if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and stand up. Stand up, take your Bible or your phone or whatever you use. Go stand up, make, you know, like this is my Bible thing, you know. I want you to stand to your feet. All right, stand to your feet. Okay. I want you to say this out loud from your heart and believing. So you got your Bible in the air. I want you to say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the Word of God.
I am who it says I
am.
I have what it says I
have.
And I can do
what it says I can do.
When I read it,
God is speaking to me.
So I will obey it.
And I will obey it and live my life accordingly. Turn and tell your neighbor, do it. Okay, you may be seated. We all know God has power. There's nobody in this room that doubts God has power. He's called Almighty. He's not called Almighty for no reason. You know, he's got power. He's got it all. He's got the power. The thing is this, how does God release his power in the earth? And this is what we want to look at today. And I'm going to tell you up front, God releases his power through his words. Say that with me.
God releases his power
through the words that he says.
So
I've opened that up to you already. So God's word has power, and that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the power of God's words. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, where it all began, in the book of the beginnings. And reading immediately from verse 3 of Genesis 1, it says, God said, Let there be light. And there was light. In other words, there was no light. It was dark. You got it? So for the sake of our little illustration, God said, let there be light. And what happened is darkness disappeared. Gone. This represents the light. When the light appeared, there was a mass of water that we don't know how it got there. The Bible doesn't tell us. So we have to assume God made it in the dark. He made the water. Now watch this. Verse 6, and God said, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and he separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. Okay. Where's the eraser? We have it? Okay. Okay, what I want you to do is I just want you to just erase this portion here, just half of that, just erase it. It'll come off quite easy. And then do the same over here. Well, I'll do this. I'll do that, okay? Okay, we've got this. Now, I want to show you something. Now, what God did is he spoke to the water, and he said to the water, I want you to divide. Yeah? And he called the gap the expanse. Well, caught. Haven't lost that. Okay. So he said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the waters. And so God made the expanse to separate the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse. You see that in the Bible? Okay. Verse 9, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered together in one place. This is now sky or expanse. He spoke to this water and he told this water to be gathered together into one place. See that? Got it? He drew all the water together. He said it. He said, come together. Draw all the water together. And then he said, let dry ground appear. In here, he decided, missed that one. He missed it. Dry land appeared in this water. And there. And I'm going to sell this when it's done. It's like a Picasso. This is what I'm famous for, is my drawings. Ask the Bible school people. I'm famous for this. This is what they joke about when behind my back. Then he said, let the water under the sky be gathered together and dry ground appeared. And it was so. Verse 11, and God, help me with it, and God said, and God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kind. So all over the land, suddenly, here we have our little palm trees and we have our other little trees. You, all over the land, suddenly up come vegetation out of the dry ground. You following so far? All right, good. Now, verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. So now, when all of this is done, God says, okay, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to create the sun, I'm going to create a moon, and I'm going to create stars. Everywhere I'm going to create stars. In other words, In other words, there was no source of the light. God didn't need the stars or the sun or the moon. When he said, light be, light came. Without the sun. There was no sun. Till like the fourth day. You with me? Don't think God is dependent upon the sun or the moon or the stars. He isn't. He says, light be, light obeys. There it is. Where it came from, heaven alone knows. Maybe it came from him. Or maybe it is just a substance. We don't know. We're just not that smart. God gave us what he wanted us to know. And then he says, in verse 20, let the waters teem with living creatures. So this water down here, suddenly, in those waters, living creatures. And then he says, and let birds fly above the earth, in here, this space. Let birds fly across the expanse of the sky. And so God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing, that which is in the waters, and they teem with this according to their own kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. God's not done yet. Verse 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, livestock, creatures that move on the ground, wild animals, each according to its own kind. And it was so. Got it? So now we have everything. We have all the animals. We have all the trees. We have seed-bearing plants and everything else. No man. Man is not here. When God has done this, he now creates man and he puts him in a garden here. Above man is this huge amount of water as the same as covering the earth. And it's hanging in the sky. It's just hanging there. And it doesn't fall until Noah's flood. Until Noah, there was no rain on the earth. You can read it for yourself. Water came up from the bottom, watered the plants. The Bible said that when the flood came, God opened up the heavens and let that water down. And the water down here came up. And that's why the earth went back to its original state under the water, completely covered. This water was never replaced. It flooded the earth and was never replaced. After that, it started to rain for the first time. And the rain, as you know, comes up from the water here through evaporation, goes up and causes clouds, and then it rains. So God changed the way he watered the earth after Noah. Got it? You learned something? Okay. It has nothing to do with the sermon. Thank you so much. Say, and God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. One more time, and God said, and it was so. You got it? Okay. Boy, you're a good class. You're really nailing this. Okay, so now I can pick up the pace. God created everything in the beginning by simply saying what he wanted. He simply said it. And it was so. Nothing or all things, I could say, exist, or nothing that exists today came into being any other way. Everything that exists came into being because God simply created them with his words. You got it? So God released his power out of his words. All things that exist came into being because God created them with the power of his words. How does God release his power? Talk to me. I'll start again. How does God release his power? How does God release his power? So he doesn't go sip sip with his fingers or clap and make a noise. If he wants something to happen, he says it. Have a look at this verse in the book of Isaiah. And if you don't understand what I just said, ask your neighbor. They may have been here longer than you. Truly, there's a book called Isaiah. 55:11, one of my favorite scriptures. God speaking through the prophet, and he says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth." Now we know the word coming out of his mouth is power, right? "So shall it be. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless." It cannot be void of power. It is not useless, never can be. If I say something, it is going to produce. He said, "But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." When God sends his word out, there is no force in hell or on earth that can stop it from accomplishing what it's supposed to accomplish. If God said it, that settles it. It is so. Now remember what we held up? This is my Bible. It is the word of God. So, when there was darkness, how did God get rid of the darkness? He didn't curse the darkness. He called light to replace it. A lot of folk, when we get into difficult times, we curse the difficult times, but that doesn't produce the change. What you need is a solution to your existing circumstances. You've got to call the solution, not curse what you've got. God did not curse the darkness. He called light. This procedure that I've just shared with you, God began with, and he has never deviated from. Today, he still uses the same procedure. It is God's MO. How many know what an MO is? Four of you. All right. It is the principle by which the kingdom of God operates. Now, you see, what we're getting now is revelation to understand how the kingdom of God operates. Remember this, if you're born again, you're in the kingdom of God. Got it? Now, you need to know how to operate in this kingdom. It's just the same as, you know, California doesn't operate like Oklahoma. We found that out 2 weeks ago. Remember that? Okay? We drive around them. And we give them the look. We don't operate like Oklahoma. Okay? And so it is true that the kingdom of God does not operate as we are used to as the earth realm. There's a difference. We have to find out how to operate in the new realm in order to bring about God's purpose and plan for our life. We have to. So, God uses this principle that I've just been talking about. He uses this principle to change Abram. Now, I'm saying it short. It's Abi, little Abi, not Abraham, little Abi. To change Abi's name into Abraham. He changes his name. When he does that, he changes Abram's identity. Watch this. Go with me to Genesis 17, and you're going to see how important. The same principle is used. Watch this. In Genesis 17 and verse 3. Abram, it's a small Abi, right? Fell on his face, and he says to God, "As for me, this is my covenant with you." Sorry, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be." Please say, "You will be." What tense is that? Okay, I'm not an English scholar, but this is not a true or false. You ought to know this. Future tense, you will be. All right? Pat your neighbor on the back. He got it right. Pat him on the back. Good job. You got it. Future tense. You will be the father of many nations. Okay. This is the promise God made to him. And then God says to him, "You know what? I think what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to make you father of many nations right now. I'm not going to wait for this thing." So God says to him, "Well, you know, no longer am I going to call you Abram for short. I'm going to change your name to Abraham. For I have made you." What tense is that? I have made you. It's right here, right now. At one stage he says you were going to be, but now he says, "You know what? I'm going to make it right now. I have made you a father of many nations."
So just as God spoke the creation into being from Genesis, what he did is he called Abraham's identity into being by speaking out what he wanted to be. He wanted Abraham to be the father of many nations, so he changed his name, which changed his identity because his name meant father of many nations. That's what God wanted for him. So he changed his name, but by changing his name, he changed his identity from someone who doesn't have children to someone who's a father of a multitude. God called him that. When God said, light be, what happened? Light be. When God called Abraham the father of many nations, what do you think happened? Abraham said, forget you. Who do you think you are talking to me like that? Now, there's a serious point there that I've just made. Very serious point. And I'm going to get to it in a moment. Just don't forget it. God did the same thing to Sarah, Abraham's wife. He changed his name, her name, in Genesis 17, 15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarah, but her name is to be Sarah. And the H is from God's name, made a covenant with her. Jehovah took the H from God's name and put it into her name. And he said, I will bless her and surely give her a son. You'll have a son by her. And then it says, I will bless her so that she will be a mother of nations. She'll be a mother of nations. So by changing her name, he changed her identity. Now remember, Abraham's 99 at this time. Sarah's 90. So in the natural, odds are against them. Yeah. Odds are against them. Wouldn't go to Vegas with those odds. But by changing their identity, God was able to change their perception of who they were. I'm going to hang it out there just for a minute. And therefore change their activity. When their perception changed from one without children to the fact that God said, you've got many, it changed their perception of who they thought they were based on what God said about them. Now, suddenly they are saying, whoa, that's what you're saying about me? You know what it's going to do? It's going to change the way you conduct yourself. It's going to change your activity. New identity, new activity. Old identity, old activity. Hello? How many are applying that right now? You getting it? Okay, so listen, it's very important as believers, you're going to have to get a new identity, otherwise you live in the old way. Isaac was born 1 year after this because they changed their activity because of a changed identity. Now, here's the thing. Abraham... there's a but to this. There's a however. Abraham had to believe what God had said before his destiny could be manifested. Okay, I just want to show you something. Let's go back 24 years in time and find when God spoke to Abraham for the first time. He wasn't Abraham. He was Abi. And God said this to him, Genesis 15, verse 4. We're going back 24 years, and God is going to make a promise to him. Okay? He says this. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This is Abram. He said, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside. God took Abram outside, out of his tent, and he said, look up at the heavens. Count the stars. How many of you know you can't do that? But you can look at the stars. Count the stars if you indeed can. Count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. This is what your offspring is going to be like. This is, people are going to be coming out of your loins. This is what it's going to look like. For us now who know from the New Testament, he was actually talking about believers around the world. That's who he was talking about. At that point, Abraham wasn't 100% sure of what he was saying. But he did understand that he said, you're going to have a lot of kids. He didn't understand that they're going to be spiritual kids. Why did God
show Abraham the stars. Why did he say to him, look at the stars? Let me explain to you. What God wanted to do was create in Abraham a vision. A vision. That's what it's going to look like. See, a vision produces hope. No hope, no vision. And here's your problem. No hope, no faith. Faith can't work without hope. It has to have hope. Because here's the thing. I know in my heart that people sitting here today, and you have lost your hope. You have lost the hope that your marriage can be restored. You've lost the hope of ever being healed. You've lost the hope of ever having your finances turned around so that you don't have to worry about money again. You've lost your hope about getting into a career that you like. You've lost your hope about marrying someone that really loves you. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means you have no vision for your future because your hope has been snapped out. So now you cannot exercise faith for a future that God has planned for you. You can't receive it because you have no hope. You can't see it. When you lose your hope, you can't see it. I'm not talking about with your eyes. You can't see it inside of you. And hear me now. Hear me now. Listen. Some of you are still sick today. Even though you've prayed 1,000 times, people have laid hands upon you. People anointed you with oil. It doesn't matter. You're still sick today. And you're sick today because in here, you've lost hope that you'll ever be healed. Some of you are in financial difficulty today. You're facing horrendous problems financially. And you don't think you'll ever get out of it. So you've lost the hope of ever getting out of it. So what happens is that you settle for where you are and you try and survive. So what Abraham, what God does is he takes Abraham outside and he says to him, look at the stars. Try and count them. He said, I can't count them because it's too many. He said, well, that's what your children are going to be like. That's what your children are going to be like. Really? Yeah. Do you believe me? Do you believe me, Abraham? Do you believe me? Abraham says, yeah. I believe you. Faith gives substance to what you're hoping for. Faith is the tangibility of your hope. It is something you can actually know that you've got it. Hope is something in the future that you never know whether it's going to happen or not. You hope it's going to happen, but you never know. Faith says it is so. Faith says it is so, and it is yours. Because God said it. You got it? So your faith brings tangibility to your hope. And God says to Abraham, do you believe me? And in verse 6, the Bible says, Abraham, small a b, believed the Lord. Believed what he said. In spite of the fact that they had no children. And the Bible says it was credited to him as righteousness. So now, we go back to creation. When God spoke to the light didn't have to believe. When God spoke to the waters didn't have to believe. When he spoke to the animals, they didn't have to believe. When he spoke to the trees, they didn't have to believe. When he spoke to the stars, the moons, didn't have to believe. What he said immediately happened. Yeah? This means that God can speak to inanimate objects and they will obey what he said. Without the object exercising faith. Not so when it comes to man. We've just seen that it was necessary for Abraham to believe in order to have what God spoke over him become his destiny. You have to believe what God said about you in order for it to happen to you. Because God cannot override your will. God cannot force you to change. God will speak a word to you, but if you don't believe it, it falls to the ground and will never produce. And so it is true with the Word of God. That's why we said, I believe what it says, I can have what it says, I can do what it says. Human beings like Abraham and Sarah had to believe what God said. Their faith activated what God had spoken over them. Your faith activates God's word for it to work in your life. Now, let me show you this. Let's go to Jesus. I told you, I said Jesus was going to show us the same thing. Jesus speaks to an inanimate object, a fig tree, and the fig tree listens to it. So we find this in Mark 11, 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if they had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. So the tree wasn't a bad tree. It wasn't supposed to be producing figs. It was leaves. It wasn't the season. Nevertheless, Jesus said to the fig tree, May no one ever eat fruit from you again. He said it aloud. The Bible says his disciples heard him say it. So that's where the song came from, I talk to the trees. That's where it comes from. Some of you are not old enough to know the song. Jesus spoke to the tree aloud. You see, when I start telling you in these series we're going to run through that you need to speak to your washing machine and to your car. Oh, wait, you already do that. You stupid thing. You always won't start when I need you to start. I'm going to get rid of you, you dumb thing. You already talked it, so it's not a problem. What you say will have to change. So Jesus spoke to the fig tree in the morning, next day. As they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Tree died overnight. Boom, gone. From the roots up, it's dead. Peter remembered and he said, Jesus, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Now you see, Jesus spoke negatively to this tree. He said, no one's going to eat from you again. Jesus didn't actually say to the tree, die, you fruitless tree. Did he? He said, you dumb fig tree, I curse you, go to hell. Did he say that? No. He just said, you know what, your fruitful days are over. You're done. That's all he said. And they considered that to be a curse. Have we been cursing our own fig tree for a while? Let me hang out there. The word sila means think about that. We've been cursing our own fig tree because we've been speaking negatively to our job, to our marriage, to our finances, to our health. We've been saying stuff to it and literally killing the life in it. And then we wonder, where's God? Why hasn't God shown up? Why hasn't God given me a better job? Why hasn't God healed me? Why hasn't God solved my financial problems? Well, you have sucked the life out of your own life by cursing it with your mouth because of what you've said to it. Is that too strong for you? Did I offend anybody? Huh? You all okay? Oh, you okay? You okay? Are you going to last the service? Are you going to come back next week? Ugly pastor, talk to me like that? I want to help you. I want to help you. Jesus said, have faith in God. That was his answer. Have faith in God. What do you mean? Have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. He said, I tell you the truth. Jesus said this, I tell you the truth. If anyone, everybody say anyone.
Anyone.
Does that include you?
Yes.
You're anyone, right? Anyone? So if anyone says to this mountain, if anyone says to the mountain, would that, could you be one of those people? Only if you say to the mountain. It won't work unless you say to the mountain. You understand that? We are all and anyone, but until we say to the mountain, this will not work. I know I have your attention. Mountain, go throw yourself in the sea. Whoa. Now, it'll work for you if, here's the condition, you don't doubt in your heart. You don't doubt in your heart, right in the most being that you believe. Don't doubt in your heart. But listen, listen carefully now. Listen. Linda, listen. Listen, Linda, listen. You believe what God said will happen. What did Jesus say? Jackie's got it right. Jackie's got it right. Come on, help me. How do you read? How readest thou? Same as thee. Say, same as thee. This is what Jesus said. It's going to work for anyone who will say to the mountain, does not doubt in his heart, but he believes. The person speaking has to believe what he says will happen. You have to believe what you say will happen. Know what the pastor says? Know what your life group leader says? Know what the young adult pastor says? Know what Jackie says? But what you say. But what you say. You have to believe what you say. And it will happen. Sound, please.
Ola ke shete hela mahalakita hashete. Kuliete alekite alekite. Shona mahala mahalaki. Akishe, akishe, akishe.
So the spirit of life, Jesus said, was in his words. And those who spoke his words spoke life into their situation. And by speaking life, death will flee and you'll have what God wants you to have. So speak life. And resist the temptation to speak death. Jesus said, it will be done for him. It will be done for him. He who believes, he who speaks. He who believes and he who speaks. And believes what? What he says. Therefore, Jesus said in verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. In other words, prayer, when you pray, you have to believe what you say will be yours and it will be yours. If you pray without believing, God can't help you. Jesus just said it. All prayer that is not prayed in faith is useless and you might as well be quiet. Are you still here? Cindy, you might have to start the car. I think I'm going to make a quick getaway. Jesus said it based on this principle. He said, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it will be yours. So what is Jesus telling us to do? He's telling us to do the same thing that God did. He tells us that we can do exactly what God did if we believe what we say will happen. This is the principle God used in the beginning. I showed you. This is the principle God used in the beginning. That's how he created everything. Now, Jesus is instructing us, our Savior, the Lord, the Christ, the Son of God, God himself. He's saying, use the procedures that God used. In this principle, right here, this incident where the fig tree was involved, he's telling the disciples, use this principle. Speak and believe. And by doing so, control your world. You see, here's the problem that I come across mostly in Christendom and in Christians in general. I'm going to say something to you now, and it might explain a lot of things. So many Christians confuse sovereignty of God with God being in control. God always remains sovereign because that's who he is. But when God relinquished control to man, he gave us our own free will to choose what we say and to choose what we believe. So God put you in control of your own world and your own life. He is not in control of your life. If he was, he is sure messing up, isn't he? Isn't he? Wow, God, I would have thought you could have done a better job. Do I have to come to you every day and tell about the problems that you are causing? That's what you're telling me when you tell me God's in control. Look in the mirror, sweetheart, and tell yourself, God gave you control over your life and world. And he said, if you speak to your world and you believe what you say, your world will obey you and come in line with what you believe and say. Amen. How many can say with me, revealed knowledge? Revelation knowledge. Identity produces activity. When you believe that you're in control, it'll change your activity. When you change your perception of who you are, it'll change your activity. See, God has changed your identity when he called you his child. He called you a son of God. He called you a daughter of God. 1 John 3:1. Watch this now. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now. We're saying now. Say it again. Now. What tense is that? Now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, comes back, when he is revealed that way, the return of Christ, we shall be like him. In every respect, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Bible just did this. Let me show you. God said, light be. Light was. Correct? God just said, Son of God, be. And if you believe that you was. God said, daughter of God, be. And if you believed it, you are. Not when you get to heaven, right now. You see, it will change your perception of who you are if you will believe that he is now calling you a son or daughter of God. God called those things, like when he spoke to Abraham, that be not as though they were. He was not a father of many nations, but he said, I am calling you a father of many nations, and he became. So right now, you may not be acting as a son of God or a daughter of God, but he is calling you one. He is calling your destiny from glory to glory to the image of his son until you see him and you'll be one. There's a transition occurring in your life, and you're growing from glory to glory according to how you believe what God spoke about you. You are no more or no less than what you believe about yourself. You are not what God said you are. You are what you believe about what God said you are. You've heard it said, everybody born on earth, you've heard it said, they're all children of God. That's not true. That's not true. Only those who have been born of the Spirit become children of God. And then your growth to full maturity depends upon what you believe about what God said about you. Change your perception. It'll change your identity. If you can believe what God said, it'll change your perception of your identity. And the moment you have a change in identity, it'll change your activity. You will behave according to your identity. Say this with me. I am who God said I am. I have what God said I have. And I can do what God said I can do. You can change your world by speaking to it and believing in your heart that it will change. Child of God, if you're not overcoming the storms in your life, and your life is not what you desire to be, the fault is 1 inch below your nose. You are perpetuating your problem by using God's procedures against yourself. And instead of allowing God to prosper you and to move you to His destiny for you, you are keeping yourself in the hole, the muck, the mire, the devastation, the sickness, the poverty that Satan wants you to live in, and then have you blame God for your condition. God gave you this principle. It's in the Word for your benefit, not for His benefit. It's for your benefit. So, the power to enjoy God's plan, His purpose for your life, is in your mouth and in your heart. Got it? And that's the end of our first lesson on power.